Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I know those are subjects that you're concerned about.
Well, listen,
did you not listen to what I just said?
You're doing a good job, though, on your investigative reporting.
Time jerk.
913-576-7610. It's a weekly edition of Time's Yours. You get a chance to weigh in anything you'd like to discuss, but a couple of questions out there. Are you sweating the Raider game? And do you see the Ravens getting to five losses? They play tonight against the Rams. They sit at 8-2. I think they need to get to five for a shot for the Chiefs to get the two seed. Not out of reach, but you're going to need some help. And the Chiefs obviously have to hold up their end of the bargain, which
that is correct. Yeah, the Chiefs got to go out there and take care of the Raiders on Sunday, and then that sets up the ultimate showdown with the New England Patriots coming up a week from Sunday in Foxborough, where obviously it's going to be very, very tough to win because you're playing against the best head coach of all time, the best quarterback of all time, and obviously against the referees as well when they're calling phantom tripping penalties that happen to prop up. So your odds are against you going into New England. That's why ultimately you have to go out there and take care of business against the Raiders on Sunday. So hopefully the Chiefs don't use this game as a look ahead. But to me, if they win this game on Sunday, separation Sunday, division is over. The Chiefs have the division won if they beat the Raiders on Sunday.
Yes.
Very simple.
So if that's not motivation enough, like, you may have messed around. It made this more interesting than it should have been. But if you want to just take care of business and then get on track then for what the ultimate prize is,
right?
You go out and take care of business on Sunday.
Correct.
Don't even make this interesting.
Right.
And get another, put another 28-point quarter on them.
Right.
Maybe keep it going this time.
And keep it going and not stop after the second quarter.
Played one quarter of really incredible offensive football, the first go-round against the Raiders. You know, do it for four quarters.
That's all right.
Not saying put up 28 a quarter, but, you know, do it for four quarters.
Why not? I'd take 28 a quarter.
I still
right
have
now.
Flashbacks.
I'd take 28 a quarter
should.
Right
you should
now.
You should be a little twitchy about that one quarter. 913-576-7610. Time's yours. Again, the questions are you sweating the Raiders? Do you see the Ravens get to five losses? Five losses, which may be kind of tough. Double J is up first in KC. Double J, time is yours.
Time's yours.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just want to say... No, the Raiders cut me off. And Dan Quinn said when he coached the Arizona Cardinals, the Raiders, we thought they would just beat them.
Yeah, just... So, they
are who they thought they were. Yeah. They're the Raiders. Well, you could be saying that for yesterday because that's exactly what you called for, basically.
Right.
The Raiders to find out who they were, which is...
A team that's not ready to win yet.
Not ready to win.
And they're not ready to win yet. And you know what? Not every team is ready to win right out of the womb. You're just not ready to go. You gotta crawl before you can walk. You gotta walk before you can run. And you gotta run before you can win.
And you gotta know when to hold them and when to fold them.
Fold them, exactly. And the Raiders are in kind of that. They've crawled, and now they're getting ready to walk. You can't rush the steps and immediately turn into a winner overnight. Just by showing up. There are little things that you need to do along that journey, and the Raiders just aren't there yet.
Ed in Tecumseh's up next. Ed,
time's yours.
Hey, we own you there. We own you here. We own the AFC West. And this weekend, they can't overlook them, but it's going to be a good game. But the Chiefs are going to dominate. And on your comment earlier today about the first game of the season being the most overall complete game, I would have to say it was the Denver Bronco game.
Well, they did that with a backup quarterback, though. That's why I'm not putting that one
the
in
defense
there.
Defense was awesome that game, and they really showed some things, but there was
Mahomes was lost in that
there was
game.
There was a big that came out of that one. So I have a hard time saying that was their most complete game.
Yeah.
But No.
I need
Mahomes in there to say complete game.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
Is that okay with everybody?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely you do.
Ron and KC's up next. Ron, time's yours.
100. Oh, yeah. The time is mine. So the Chiefs are going to do whatever they do. My daughter couldn't wait to week of school last week. And after she missed the week of school all weekend, she just complained about all the stuff that she missed. Then she didn't want to go to school today. God help me. How many more years do I have of this? Oh!
No idea what that was.
Nope,
what
I don't
was
either.
That? I don't know.
I blame the call screener for that one.
Jeff in Casey Moe. Jeff, time's yours.
Time's yours.
Yeah, I think that guy got a cocktail few in early in the morning.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe so.
It's real simple. The Chiefs just need to come out and give an Alabama versus East Carolina style ass whooping on Saturday or Sunday. And let the Patriots know that we're not screwing around. We're healthy. We're ready to play ball. And let's put it to the Raiders like we should, and let's go to work and get ready for the Patriots. It's real simple. That's all I got.
I like that.
Very
that,
simple speech, Jeff. Yeah. So, no, he's not. To answer the question, no, he's not worried about the
66-3 ass whooping that Alabama put on Western Carolina over the weekend, and Western Carolina was blanked until a field goal in the fourth quarter. Why even kick a field goal in the fourth quarter if you're Western Carolina? So you just don't get shut out,
right,
I guess?
Right.
I
mean, they had a long shutout streak
or something like that. But yeah, that's the type of ass whooping, you know, that we need to have against the Oakland Raiders. I would love a 66-3 beatdown of the Raiders.
That'd be great. I'm probably not going to happen. Rev and KC, time's yours.
Time's yours.
Hey, man, Nate, you guys doing a great job. Hey, hopefully we can just knock the Raiders off. They right there for us. The division is right there for the taking. All we got to do is just keep the foot on the gas.
Yeah, that's it right now. At this point of the season, just go out there and take care of business and figure out a way to get things done, and you will. It's survive in advance right now. No style points are necessarily needed, but I think style points are going to be earned this weekend against the Raiders. Being a 10-point favorite, man, there's a lot that can go right for the Chiefs.
It's some style. Grayson downtown, time's yours.
Time's yours.
Hey, man, I've been a Chiefs season ticket holder for probably about 20 years, and today listening to people around this town has made me finally think it might be time to punt. We're doing the same thing we always do as fans. We get in our small cocoon, we get excited about a little bit of success. This team's not elite. We shouldn't even be talking about being excited about beating the Raiders. Whoop-de-doo, we win the division and we're going to get smoked by New England or Baltimore. And even if somehow we were lucky enough to advance out of that, the NFC's got seven teams better than anything we put out on the field. It's time to scrap a certain part of this team. I mean, I watched the game last night. San Francisco, they did it right. They built their defensive line so that they have a real defense and they can actually compete. We've got, you know, whatever on defense. Like, I think we got 10 guys from Rockers and a guy from, you know, North Kansas City on there. The defense is brutal. That tight end for San Francisco, he's 10 times better than Kelce. I don't know what Kelce's contract is, but if they can trade him to somebody and get even a friggin' fifth-round pick, it's time to do it. This team's trash. It's time to start over, rebuild this thing.
Well, I've always been on the trade parts bandwagon, but I'm not trading Kelce for a fifth-round pick to anybody. And the defense is a lot better than what Rockhurst and one of your guys from North Kansas City is rolling out there to play on defense.
Grayson,
this defense
is just,
has gotten
he's
better.
Just protecting. He's insulating himself from the bad enemies. He's rocking back and forth in the corner like, I don't want to see this happen.
Right.
I don't want to see this happen. I don't want to see this happen.
And if you're a 20-year season ticket holder and you've got that kind of attitude, maybe it's time to find something else to do with
your
Sunday
afternoons. It's not good for your health.
Come on!
Don't let him end on that. 913-576-7610. Woo!
Hey, Bob, you mentioned the 63 to whatever that you said.
Yeah,
66-3. I'm going to the game, so I hope that doesn't happen. I need to see some positivity when going out there.
Yeah, 66-3. I would love for the Chiefs to send a statement game to the Raiders and a statement game to the rest of the NFL that we aren't done here in Kansas City. And December has arrived. Our health has arrived. Our play calling has arrived. We're fresh off the bye week. And anybody else that wants to get in our way, try it and see what happens. We're putting up points going forward.
That is today's edition of Time's Yours. Had to end on Grayson. Man, Grayson, for your health, man, step away.
Find something else to do. And it doesn't matter that there are 7 or 8 teams in the NFC better. It's all about getting to the Super Bowl. And if you get to the Super Bowl, hey, anything can potentially happen. I do think the NFC is a lot stronger this year than the AFC is. I think that's
been... NFC is good. I don't think it's a cakewalk that you just beat the Patriots or whatever and get to the Super Bowl and win it. It's not guaranteed that you get to the Super Bowl and win it.
Right.
Andy knows that first and foremost, right?
Correct.
So it's not a given. Just get me there. I'll roll the dice when it gets to that stage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't care who's at the end of it for the NFC when you get to the Super Bowl. Just get there. Give us a chance. That's all I'm asking. And then, yeah, they're not complete right now. That's what we're saying. They're not complete. They have the chance to. You win on Sunday, take care of the division, and then you put yourself on a path to, all right, now you start your kind of almost like your postseason preps.
Correct.
What do we need to do to get better in this, and this as we move forward? I think they've been doing that anyway during the bye week, mm-hmm. right? But you put yourself in a position record-wise to be able to be on that path.
That's right. Yeah, you've got the opportunity here to win some games, to get fresh, to get looking like you did a year ago on offense, and an opportunity to start sending a message in this final month that the Chiefs aren't going to be an easy out. I was listening to Deion Sanders this morning talk about, you know, who's going to make it to the Super Bowl from the AFC, and Deion goes, well, I mean, obviously, you know, New England is going to make it to the Super Bowl. And the host goes, are they going to win? He goes, well, I didn't say they're going to win it. That NFC is really, really good. But just getting there, I think, is a win this year for the AFC, and then see what you got going against what San Francisco, going against Minnesota, going against Green Bay, going against Seattle. Like, there are a lot of really good teams that are over there in the NFC that could make the Super Bowl tough. But for me, it's all about the AFC. It's not worrying about anything that's going on in the NFC right now.
Your easiest chance ever to win Smokehouse Barbecue. If you don't know the brisket for the brisket, you should. 913-576-7610 to win. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
By the time they get here to Kansas City, which is why we've seen this game hyped up, you know, this week, because they know next week there's not going to be a lot of hype for the game from a national level because the Raiders are going to go out to New Jersey and they're going to lose that game at the Meadowlands.
There it was. Every once in a while we get a good prediction.
Every once in a while.
I tried it the week before because I was trying to upend the Jets at the hands of the Bengals. Did not happen. But the Raiders at the hands of the Bengals.
Right.
But the Jets did get them yesterday. And got him in a big way. And that means Chris wins $50 to Smokehouse Barbecue and assorted sauces and spices.
The Bengals are now 0-11 on the season. We haven't seen a team this bad since the Detroit Lions went 0-16 when Dan Orlovsky ran out the back of the end zone. So this Bengals team right now is really doing a number
they're
on
doing
the
it,
record books.
They're
aren't
doing
they?
It right.
Yeah,
they're doing it right.
Hey, if you're going to be bad, just be bad. There's no reason if you're the Cincinnati Bengals right now to be 2-14, to be 3-13, to be 4-12. If you're going to be bad, be historically bad, finish out the season, go 0-16, and lock yourself up for the number one overall pick and start getting good draft picks and building up that organization back to being a competitive
organization. Get yourself that number one pick, pick the wrong quarterback.
Pick the wrong quarterback, Achilles Smith.
And just keep on going.
Yeah.
They're not going to get it right.
No, they're not.
They're not going to get the right one. I don't know who the right one is at this point in time, but they're not going to get the right one.
Well, I'm with you. I don't know who the right quarterback is right now. I don't know who the correct choice is, who the best quarterback is in college football right now. Hell if I know. Nobody knew Patrick Mahomes was going to be the best to come out of that draft. You know, when they drafted him, he was way down the charts. Like, nobody was even talking about Patrick Mahomes. I actually heard a funny story about Patrick Mahomes. You know, years ago, they were watching Patrick Mahomes, you know, play by mistake. They were looking at like an offensive lineman by mistake. And as they're watching this offensive lineman at Texas Tech, they go, well, look at this kid. He's pretty good at quarterback. And everybody's like, well, I don't know where he ranks. He's not on any of these lists or anything. And everybody in the Chiefs is like, good, let's keep it that way. Because if you keep it that way, then nobody knows who he is. And by the time he's ready to be drafted, we can swoop in and grab him and he can be ours. That's the kind of quarterback that you need to find to be that number one overall pick. I mean, the hyped quarterbacks we see so often, Josh, fail. It's a 50% rate. So is that who the Bengals are going with? Are they going with a quarterback with the number one overall pick?
They have to.
I think if you pigeonhole yourself in there as well, that you have to take a quarterback at number one overall because you're coming off an 0-16 season, if that guy isn't there that truly is a franchise-changing quarterback, then you're making a big mistake there and you're setting yourself back even further because you're wasting a number one overall pick on a guy who may not be worthy of that number one overall pick. I think when you have the first overall pick in the draft, whether you're 0-16 or you're 2-14, you have to let the board come to you. Even at that number one pick, you can't reach at number one overall. You cannot reach at a pick at number one overall because you feel like you have to have a quarterback or you have to have a running back or you have to have this. Because when you draft for the have-to-haves, you screw yourself every single time. You've got to take the best player available if you're the Cincinnati Bengals, regardless of what position that is this year.
See, I think they're picking the best quarterback on the board. I think they're going to. Whoever, maybe if it's Burrow of LSU or if Tua has a late rise, if he even decides to come out at this point, they're going to pick a quarterback.
Say it is Cincinnati. Yeah, they need so much. There's just so much wrong with this team. Like, such as the offensive line to their defense. It's just, there's just so much.
That's why you're going to have the pressure to pick quarterback.
But you're going to have the pressure, but you can't listen to the pressure. Like, who's pressuring? Fans? Like, what do we know? Honestly, at the end of the day, we don't know anything about these players that are being drafted, right? Let the organization just kind of handle it. It's why they're employed. It's why they're there. They do a lot more studying on it than we do. And I just don't think, like when the Chiefs had that number one overall pick, there was literally nobody that was going to be drafted. Like, the Chiefs would have given anything to get out of that
pick.
You give me $5 and I'll trade you that pick. Like, they wanted out of that pick so bad. I think if you're the Cincinnati Bengals, though, you may think you need to take a quarterback, and they do, but you also don't need to swing and miss and risk taking a quarterback there and pass up some other really good players that are going to help you overall.
Yeah, ultimately,
it doesn't have to be done overnight.
Ultimately, the Bengals want to trade out of one so that they don't make the mistake of the pick on the quarterback.
Well, but you're not trying to build this thing overnight. Like, you don't have to go from 0-16 to 16-0 in the next year. You can work this. If you believe in the front office that you have and the coach that you have right now, take the pressure off them if you're ownership and say, draft the best players and
younger.
Let's go.
They got to win.
Yeah,
I mean. Jerry Jones, meanwhile, gave us a harsh reality of what it's like to go to New England as the Cowboys lost 13-9 at the Patriots yesterday. Patriots picking up their record 17th straight season with 10 or more wins as well.
Yep.
But Jerry Jones, for Chiefs fans, gave us a little snapshot. It ain't easy going to New England.
I think you're going to get out, Coach, when you come to during this era when you come into New England. I do. I think you are. And I give him his, not due there, but it's just what you're dealing with. But my point is, don't get yourself in a spot to where you have to come up here and beat him and beat them and beat them on a day like today. Don't get in a spot with that determining what you want to be about, with that determining where you're going. Now, we're fortunate. We've got a chance to really step up here and do this. But I want to see us coordinate our defense, offense, and special teams.
He went into kind of more of the Dallas problems in that one. But you don't want to go there with something on the line. Like, you don't want to put yourself in a position where you need to go there to win.
That's right.
Oh, that's great.
That's an owner talking about how it's impossible to win in New England. No matter what you do, it's impossible to win.
Because you got to go there expecting to lose, and you shouldn't put something on the line going there to win because you're going to come away with a loss.
Yeah, if you feel if you have to have a must-win game and you're at New England,
you don't want it there.
That's not happening. You're not getting that game. You're not getting that win.
You don't want it there. Our big story coming up, and we're going to check in with friend of the show, Seth Sinovic. He is now a free agent, no longer with Sporting KC. We'll see what's next with Seth next.
Fesco in the morning.
A lot to get to between now and 9 o'clock. Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Round 2, Cleveland-Pittsburgh coming up. Mock draft has the Chiefs going at an interesting position. And surprise, surprise, they didn't get the call they were looking for.
Against the team that just has everybody talking.
Which is fantastic. Also, congratulations to Ryan. And his wife, Linda.
Who?
Ryan Wachowski.
Oh.
And our normal producer, Ryan Wachowski.
Forgot about him.
Yeah, I know. He's out. He's out for like a month. They had a baby girl over the weekend. A little bit early. But baby girl now added to the Wachowski family. And so Ryan's taking the next month off to, quote, unquote, help.
Mm-hmm. Your wife and my wife would kick us out by Thursday.
Quite possibly. Friday, maybe.
Maybe at the latest Friday.
Like, appreciate the offer, but don't really need that.
Right. Ryan will be begging to leave at the end of the month. She won't let him go.
Yeah, wanting.
Please! Please stay, Ryan. Please.
So Ryan is out. Kramer Sansone, who's our resident Raider fan.
Correct.
Is in.
He's not admitting that this week.
I'll admit it. I'm a Raiders fan.
All right.
He's a Raiders fan, but he's not feeling very confident about this thing. And that's that should be our big story, I guess. Big story as the Raiders end up raidering, just as you predicted.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, I'm sorry for the delay, but the big moment has finally come.
It's the big story.
This may be the biggest thing that's ever happened.
If it's what you're talking about, it's what we're talking about.
My God, are you still talking?
On Fesco in the Morning.
We dropped passes. Hell, we dropped four center quarterback exchanges in the second half. We missed tackles. We missed field goals. We missed an opportunity to show our fans that came out today what kind of football team we are. Really disappointed in it. I take credit for all the things that went wrong.
And I cut out the end because he went,
yeah.
Because he had a runny nose, not because he was crying. But I take credit for everything that's happened.
Yeah.
I should have left that in.
You should have left it
very,
in.
Very emphatic. Yeah. But he sniffled at the end of it. Yeah, that John Gruden and company, they were atrocious against the Jets yesterday. Not exactly a team that should feel like that they have a chance to contend for the division this week with the matchup with the Chiefs. Had a chance to get to 7-4 and tie the Chiefs and make this one a really big game on Sunday.
Yep.
And absolutely laid an egg.
They did lay an egg. And John Gruden is right. They did do everything wrong, from the drop passes to penalties to not converting on third downs, which is what they were really good at, to mm-hmm. not being able to get a quarterback center exchange, to benching their quarterback and running back. And midway through the third quarter, they waved the white flag in that one. And I didn't expect the Raiders to go in there and lose 34-3. I expected them to lose the football game. But they lost in grand fashion to the Jets. And that's what happens when you're a young team and you start to look ahead to, you know, the showdown with the Chiefs a week in advance. You don't take care of business that is right there in front of you. And we saw a young team that hasn't learned how to win yet go out there and absolutely lay an egg in Jersey. And now this game on Sunday is all but a formality for the division for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, this is the opportunity to put the stiff arm, win the division, and then focus all your goals on what we thought it was going to be at the beginning of the season, was how to beat teams in the playoffs.
Correct.
How to make a playoff run. I feel like everything is still in front of you in that regard once you win the division. You waited too long, in my opinion. Tapped in. I feel like this should have been foregone conclusion by this stage.
Right.
The division should have been over. I wasn't buying in the Chargers from the get-go. After Hard Knocks, I'm like, well, the Raiders aren't in on this thing.
Sure.
Raiders have played above and beyond where I thought that they would be this particular season, but the Chiefs didn't take care of some of their business and have made this a game. But you go ahead and you get a victory on Sunday, right back to where we thought you could be. Focus in on how the stretch is going to end up. Play your best football entering the postseason, and let's see where it goes. Everything's still in front of you.
Everything is still in front of you. A lot to play for. And tonight, Josh, you and I are going to be ramming it because we've got to see the Rams take advantage of the situation and beat the Baltimore Ravens at home. So it's a night of ramming it for all of us.
Yes, rooting for the Rams tonight. I think the Ravens have to get to five losses. They need three more losses somewhere in their schedule.
Sure.
Three more losses for the Chiefs to have a chance at the 2 seed. I think the Chiefs can win out, except for the Patriots game. Not going to give them that Patriots win. Maybe by, you know, the end of the week leading up to the Patriots game, I might be on board with that one. But right. I'm assuming a loss in that game, which would give the Chiefs five losses. So how do I get the Ravens to five? Well, they got to drop three.
And they got three tough ones coming up.
You need to do it tonight.
They got at the Rams.
Come on, Rams.
Home against the 49ers, at the Bills, home against the Jets, at the Browns, home against the Steelers. And so that's a tough road to ahead for the Baltimore Ravens. It's possible they drop three more games, but then the Chiefs have to take care of business in Foxborough, but can't overlook the Raiders like the Raiders did the Jets, or Foxborough is not going to matter.
So 3:25, the kickoff coming up on Sunday. There is your big story. Chiefs and Raiders coming up, but not both 7-4. And Bob told you so.
That's right. You're telling everybody. I'm not. I am not going to.
I'm bringing
wear this
for you.
One.
You did hammer this one. You did hammer this one. We're joined now by Seth Sinovic, friend of the show. Now, it's sad of me to say, former member of Sporting KC, now a free agent. But Seth, before we get into that, Chiefs and Raiders doesn't exactly have the bite to it that it did when we were kids, but still a big one coming up on Sunday, an opportunity for our Chiefs to finish off those Raiders.
Yeah, it should be a good game. It's like you said, it's not as big as it used to be, but it's I'm never rooting for the Raiders, but it's always kind of fun to have them be a little bit better and have these games be a little bit bigger of a deal than they had been in the last, you know, 5-10 years or so.
You know, that's what I said about 90 minutes ago, Seth. I'm like, part of me is, like, sad that the Raiders lost that game because I wanted to see, like, this game have something to it. Like, you got the great rivalry games this weekend in college football, Alabama-Auburn, Ohio State-Michigan, Wisconsin-Minnesota. You even have Steelers and Browns this weekend, which has a lot to it, obviously, because of the way the last game ended between the two. Part of me not ever going to root for the Raiders, but man, wouldn't it be cool if they were 7-4 and this game had all the makings of a classic on Sunday?
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of, you know, think about it as a, you know, Missouri KU rivalry, and you know, I'm kind of happy Missouri and KU weren't playing for the last however many years in basketball, because Missouri's been struggling quite a bit. I think it just adds a little bit more clout to the games when the rivals are both a little bit more competitive.
All right, Seth, I'm sad. I'm sure you're probably sad, too. A hometown guy. We've seen you in a Sporting KC uniform now for several years, but your option not picked up. Were you surprised, or based on how the season went, was kind of everything up for grabs with everybody?
Yeah, I think I was surprised, but at the same time not surprised. Obviously, I had a disappointing year as a group, and, you know, it's a business, and changes tend to happen when the team's not doing as well. So, you know, obviously disappointed. I hometown guy and had 9 awesome years here, and very thankful for the opportunities that I had. But at the same time, I'm pretty excited for a new challenge and help another team be successful.
You know, I've always wondered how those conversations take place. So, tell me, how'd that conversation take place?
As far as what?
Them telling you they weren't picking up the option and all that.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I won't go into too many details, but, yeah, it's one of those things where we obviously had a disappointing year. And there's no sugarcoating that. And, you know, like I said, it's a business. The organization wants to win, players want to win, but, you know, when things aren't going well, you know, it's just a, it's a chance to make changes and try and make you know, make the team better for the next year. And you know, I don't blame coaches or organization for doing what they think is best to win. Obviously, I would love to, you know, play my entire career here, but that's not really the nature of sports. I think I'm pretty fortunate to have played in one place for 9 years. You don't see that too often in professional sports, but you know, especially in my hometown, in front of friends and family, and have as much success as we did while I was playing here. I think we won four trophies in my 9 years. It's been a blast. It's been a lot of fun, and you know, I'll be sad to leave Kansas City, but again, I'm pretty excited for a new challenge and a fresh start.
As free agency opens up, you intend to keep playing, and what do you think is the next step? Kind of fielding, hopefully, offers or at least inquiries from other teams?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the MLS system's a little quirky, and there's a lot of different things that are going on, especially with the two expansion teams this year. So we have the expansion draft, there's the reentry draft for players that aren't free agent eligible, and a lot of stuff going on. I think the reentry draft is today, but yeah, it's just kind of waiting for some chips to fall and see where players are at, and then then teams start to express interest. I've got some interest from a few teams already, and yeah, just going to start fielding offers and see what the best situation is for my family and I.
How much longer do you want to play?
As long as I'm physically and mentally into it and capable, and I'm feeling physically and mentally great right now. So I'm very aware that I'm very lucky to do what I get to do, and I don't take that for granted, and I definitely don't want to call it quits too early and have regrets. But I'm also pretty self-aware and knowing when I will need to hang it up, and I'm just not at that point yet.
Well, good, because we always say, man, even if you're in, like, the minor leagues playing minor league baseball, why give up until you have to, yeah, man? You can always go into the real world. So as long as you can play and feel good, man, our advice to you is do it as long as you can, because right, you can't go back, my man.
You're not the first people that have told me that, so I'm gonna take that to heart.
What went wrong this year? You've had a little bit of time to kind of reflect, and we've been used to seeing Sporting KC obviously in the postseason. That run kind of came to an end. What can you look back on and say, man, it just this just didn't go the way we thought it was going to go?
I really wish I could narrow it down to one thing or pinpoint one thing. It's tough to say. I it wasn't a lack of caring or effort or anything like that. I know guys wanted to win. I think we've got we have always had since I've been here one of the best groups of guys in locker rooms in the entire league, and that's something we pride ourselves on. And I can't tell you how many conversations I had with Matt Beisler before and after games, just trying to figure out what's going on. And we, for whatever reason, it just never seemed to turn. We had the Champions League at the beginning and had success, but kind of fell out of that, and had some injuries develop, and all a bunch of different things. But even with that, we still should have been able to turn it around, and for whatever reason, we couldn't.
How do you, like, as an athlete, turn it around during the course of the season? I'm kind of looking at the Chiefs. Like, they haven't played their best all year, and we're headed into December. How do you flip that switch?
Yeah, it's tough because a lot of it has to do with mentality more than anything. And, when you get into a groove and you're winning a lot and you're confident, things just seem to fall your way. But it's the complete opposite when things aren't going your way. And just seems like anything that can go wrong does go wrong. And guys that don't typically make mistakes are making mistakes because they're not focused or trying too hard. I think George Brett used to say when he was struggling, he used to try easier, because when you try too hard, you press too much, and you start making mistakes and trying to do things that you're not accustomed to doing. So I think more than anything, I think guys were trying a little bit too hard and pressing and, like I said, making uncharacteristic mistakes.
Yeah, I think that's one of the lines I use from George probably at least once a week, a case of the try too hards. And when you think about it, you're like, oh, yeah, try easier. That makes a heck of a lot of sense. But when you're in the moment, man, like, you can't take that advice.
He's not as quotable as Yogi, but that's a pretty good quote.
That is
right?
A good quote, yeah.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. No, it makes perfect sense. And when you're in the thick of it, it definitely makes even more sense, I can tell you that.
What do you think the Chiefs are going to end up doing?
I don't know. Sometimes I'm thinking the defense is turning around. Sometimes I'm not. The thing I'm excited about is, over the past however many years before we had Mahomes, you go into the playoffs and we sneak in sometimes, and you're like, oh, well, we're gonna get knocked out pretty easily. But when you've got arguably one of the best, if not the best, quarterback in the league right now, I mean, anything can happen. Roethlisberger and the Steelers won it a few years back as a sixth seed, just sneaking into the playoffs. Like, why can't that be the Chiefs with a guy like Mahomes?
I agree, man. That's why every time where I sit back and I watch some of these other teams and people aren't talking about the Chiefs, I'm like, God, in my heart of hearts, I cannot write this team off and say they are not going to have an opportunity to make it to a Super Bowl because of the presence of number 15. He changes everything on the field every single Sunday, and I always go back to that Titans game. Even with 17 seconds left, I thought they're at least going to tie this thing and send it to overtime because of the quarterback. Like, I've never seen an athlete that's given me that kind of confidence in a game where you're never out of it and you should never count that team out.
Yeah, absolutely, and they should have tied that game too.
So. Right, exactly. Yeah. He did his part, right? He got him there. Well, Seth, you have a great Thanksgiving, man.
One of our favorite 15s. Amongst many 15s in Kansas City, you're one of our favorites. I'm guessing that whatever team you end up in, that's temporary housing and your home's still here in Kansas City. Am I right?
That's definitely hopefully the case, at least. Yeah, my wife is from Dallas, and we've always talked about ending up in either Kansas City or Dallas. But, we would love to be back in Kansas City. This has always been my home. It'll always be my home. Sporting's always my hometown team. No matter what happens, I'll always root for them and the guys in that locker room. So, I will definitely be a Kansas City lifer no matter where I'm at.
There you go. Better not be a Dallas Cowboy fan if your wife convinces you to move down there. Good Lord.
I will never be a Dallas Cowboy fan.
Okay.
I can promise you that.
Perfect.
Seth, don't be a stranger. Right. Thanks for always jumping on with us. We appreciate it. And I know you're going to find a new team real quick.
All right, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
All right, that's Seth Sinovic, now former. I don't like
that. I hate saying that, too.
I don't like saying that. Former member of Sporting Kansas City, but now a free agent. But he's always joined us over the last several seasons to chat soccer and more. And, of course, being a Kansas City guy, he's always paying attention to Chiefs, Royals, KU, all kinds of stuff. He's a big sports fan as well. And, yeah, don't retire. Don't ever.
Don't ever retire.
Don't ever retire.
Yeah, you're making $2,000 a year playing minor league baseball, but you know what?
It's fun.
You're gonna wish those days were back at some point when you're making, you know, same amount of money doing something in an office that you hate. So never give it up, man. Never go away from sports. If you can play as long as you can, heck yeah, continue to stick it out. And I could see Seth playing for a while now. He's got some offers potentially out there already and some teams talking to him. So that's a good sign that you know he's a very coveted guy.
You know when Seth played his best all the time?
When?
Whenever they were trying to push him. Like,
yeah,
there was always,
true. There was always
somebody like pushing.
Because we talked about it for years. Like, this guy may knock Sonoma out. And he always
just kind of won the gig. So, he'll bounce back.
He gets that from his Uncle John.
Unfortunately, not in Kansas City.
Yeah, that's all right.
I get it.
Maybe he'll go to a tax-free state.
Well, there's that.
I mean, maybe he'll end up with an income tax-free state and make more.
quite possibly. In addition to Chiefs Raiders coming up on Sunday, already we're getting Cleveland-Pittsburgh?
Yeah, we are.
Man, that was quick.
It was 2 weeks ago, right? Like, Thursday will mark 2 weeks since the epic game. And you found, you know, this is one of the good rivalries of the NFL, and this is why I wish the Raiders weren't just such a disaster all the time, because we could have fun with these rivalries. Like, Pittsburgh and Cleveland have legit fun with this rivalry, and Sunday it looked like a Buffalo Bills game that broke out, but this was Cleveland fans and Pittsburgh fans.
Yeah, it was. They had a pinata of Mason Rudolph.
Okay.
And the Browns guy in a Miles Garrett jersey, blindfolded, and they were swinging a Steelers helmet trying to break the pinata. At like a tailgater or something.
Now that's good. That is really good, right?
That feels like a rivalry, doesn't it?
I think it does.
Doesn't it? Maybe they should have waited a week and did it, you know.
And the fact they were swinging the helmets was perfect.
Yes, they were swinging.
That was just perfect.
Somebody went and purchased a Steeler helmet just to do this.
Just to do it.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And so they were out there with a Steeler helmet instead of a stick using the Mason Rudolph pinata as the target. I don't know that, like, the dude almost cracked somebody in the crowd, though, because he was blindfolded and probably hammered as well.
I think there was alcohol involved, yes.
And did swing and almost got somebody in the crowd with it. I don't know if they ever broke open the pinata. I never saw the finality, if they had any video surfacing later of all the candy being spilled out. But, man, they were going at it. I'm like, that's well done. You just give me a round of applause for that one, Cleveland fan, for going out there and figuring out a way to, you know, kind of, you know, take that one up to the next level. That was really good.
Sheldon Richardson, meanwhile, hopes that he sees Mason Rudolph this week. Rudolph got benched, you remember.
That's right. The duck call guy.
He got benched yesterday. But Sheldon Richardson of Cleveland hopes he sees him.
Sheldon, Rudolph got benched today. Would it be disappointing if he doesn't play next week?
I don't really care, bro.
You guys did such a great job.
I hope he plays.
Yeah.
I hope he plays.
Why?
Did you see him last game?
I don't care. Oh, wait, I do. I hope he plays. Never mind. I hope he plays.
The look on Sheldon Richardson's face when the reporter followed up and said, why do you want him to play? And Sheldon Richardson had like that, I don't know how to describe it on the air, like that bewildered, like, are you kidding me? Like, you just asked that question? Like, he kind of double-taked the reporter.
You want them to say it. You want him to say it.
Yeah.
You don't want it to be understood. You want him to give you a quote.
And he did.
Yeah.
Sheldon, Rudolph got benched today. Would it be disappointing if he doesn't play next week?
I don't really care, bro.
Yeah, you do.
You guys did such a great job.
I hope he plays.
Yeah.
I hope he plays.
Why?
Did you see him last game?
Former Missouri Tiger Sheldon Richardson, now a member of the Cleveland Browns.
And then Joe Buck and Troy Aikman take it to a new level last night during the Patriots-Jets game, talking about Tom Brady.
Back, Brady loves him. He says he loves it dirty.
Excuse me?
Back, Brady loves him. He says he loves it dirty.
Joe Buck knew exactly what he was doing.
I know he did, because Joe Buck is very smart. Joe Buck is very witty. Joe Buck is very subtly funny. And he let it breathe after that. Troy Aikman didn't say anything, and they went to commercial, and I think they came back, and Troy Aikman started again talking about how Tom Brady likes it dirty.
Back, Brady loves him. He says he loves it dirty.
Good for Tom.
Right up your alley. Right up your alley.
I couldn't hit record fast enough.
I understand.
A mock draft is out. A 3-round mock draft is out. And I don't always look at these things, but I will look at them to see where they pick positions. Okay. So the Chiefs, they have them selected at number 25, which I suppose based on current.
Yeah, that's based on events, where you are right
now. Current events, right. They pick at number 25. But this particular mock draft from DraftWire had the Chiefs taking Georgia running back DeAndre Swift with their number one pick in the first round of this mock draft. They had a corner and a defensive end in their second and third round mocks. But running back with the first pick in the opening round feels a little reactionary to me. It feels like last several weeks reactionary to me. I think there are more pressing needs on the defensive side of the football. I think they cannot get away from that. You can't fall into the trap of always going offense, 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 offense with this team. I think there are too many things you still need to do defensively. I'd be disappointed if it was a running back in the first round. I was kind of disappointed, but I understood the wide receiver this year and why they had to do it based on the situation at the moment or at the time at hand with Tyreek Hill. At that point in time, I get it. They were kind of drafting in case there was no Tyreek Hill.
And you still missed Tyreek Hill for 4 weeks,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, know? and he's going to be a valuable guy moving forward. I can't argue with that, but there are more pressing needs. You can't just continue to go offense, offense, offense at the top of the draft.
Well, I just don't think in the draft anymore, we were talking about it earlier with the Bengals, that you can't sit there and draft for need anymore. I think you do have to take the best available player at any position to make your football team ultimately better. I think running back is the number one need for this football team based on the fact that we saw this offense at a different level with a running back like Kareem Hunt than we saw with Damian Williams, and we've seen with LeSean McCoy. Like, I made that mistake. I realized, man, I got clouded by the Andy play calling last year with all that, and I felt like you could put any running back in there and they were going to be able to do with Kareem Hunt. And I said, oh, he's a third round pick. It's Andy's system that made him look good. Well, we've seen this year without a true legit star running back where this offense is. It's off about a touchdown per game. They're not putting up the numbers like they used to, but they did a year ago on offense when they had that star running back out there in Kareem Hunt. So I've come to the conclusion, like, Andy may not need the running backs, and these may be the perfect running backs for Andy, but a running back that's better makes Andy better, makes this offense better. And DeAndre Swift is the guy that you mentioned that they have him taking at number 25. I think if the Chiefs are picking at number 25, that would be very high, and I would be disappointed by that. But if DeAndre Swift is there, I have a feeling that they're going to take him, because I believe that we have kind of drawn the line in the sand of what this team is, Josh, and that is an offense-first team. And if defense happens to come along and make a couple of plays, great, grand, wonderful. But we're all about offense now here in Kansas City, and I think that running back spot getting better there helps them out. The good news is DeAndre Swift is the only projected running back right now to go first round in the draft. You can get a really good running back later in the draft, and by later in the draft, I mean second round, third round. Travis Etienne of Clemson is a guy I know that you know people have their eye on right now. Keyshawn Vaughn out of Vanderbilt is another guy who I know that folks are very, very high on. Those are two guys that are projected to go anywhere between the second and third rounds. And so
there's a lot of 2 through 4 type running backs.
I'm not reaching on a running back, but if DeAndre Swift is there when the Chiefs are drafting, I would take him, and I think they would probably take him as well. But you are right. The 2 through 3s this year that are projected anyway at this point of time to be there in the second and third round.
It's still November.
It's very early.
Yes.
And by the time the draft rolls, rather be at 5 running backs that are first round worthy because of combine runs and all that stuff. But as of right now, like actually viewing football games and ranking guys instead of what happens when football's done, right?
Correct.
So right now, as we're watching actual games take place, most running backs are between a second and a third round pick. So the Chiefs aren't going to have to reach to take a guy in the first round. If Swift is there, I bet they take him. But if you go into later rounds, and here we are predicting what's going to happen in April, but if you get into the second and third round, maybe that's a better spot for you to take your running back. But I think that is going to be a very, very, very important position for them to address in the draft.
Because I still look at linebacker. I still look at defensive back. As much as we think they played better, you can never have too many corners. So I'm still thinking defensive back, linebacker, even defensive line, offensive line before I even get to running back.
Sure.
I still think Andy can do what he needs to do with the running back position now. That may be in flux if Damian Williams is if the rib is hurt out for the year and they go, well, this guy's injury prone, we can't count on him. Mm-hmm. And LeSean McCoy, you know, this was a 1-year rental. So you may be in a position where maybe it becomes more of a position of need.
Mm-hmm.
because you don't have the options. If the sixth round guy isn't projected to be a starter and you don't want to, you know, I don't know what their depth chart's going to look like, but I would be disappointed on the surface at running back. I think they have to stay the course and go defense. I just harken back a little bit too much to Vermeil's Chiefs days. When
right, you're having it was flashbacks.
Just, it was just offense. I'm like, wait a minute. What? The offensive line's not getting any younger, and your defense is terrible.
Right.
Like, what are we doing here? And I don't want to get in that mode. I don't want to let Andy also dictate going because he's just offense.
Right.
It's always about that. You still have work to do on the defense, and I'd rather they did that.
I think you're playing the clock, though, with Andy, too. I mean, he doesn't have 20 years ahead of him anymore. You know, this isn't 1999. This is 2019. The man's in his 60s right now. So you're probably playing against Father Time as well, wouldn't you think, a little bit when it comes to Andy Reid? And so maybe you want to give him as much as possible. Like, you take that one side of the ball that is really, really good and make it even better to try to mask what's going on.
Because you're all
beholden
to Andy, you have to. You shouldn't be thinking that. You shouldn't be thinking franchise.
Right.
But how could you not?
Like,
how could you not be thinking of what's Andy's time frame too?
Right, because you're thinking, all right, we really want to win one for Andy. Like, this organization wants to win one for Andy and more than anything, right? Everybody wants to win for Andy. I think everybody in the NFL wants to win for Andy. But this franchise is still going to be here whenever Andy decides he's going to move on. You know what I'm saying?
So that is
like,
correct.
So
it is, time will be moving on. The franchise will be continuing beyond
Andy Reid.
Big Red's years.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's really like you're in that, like, do we draft for Andy or do we draft for where we're going to be in 10 years from, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have to find a way to find a happy medium for both. And I think you can accomplish that by drafting a running back, getting that position taken care of, and then focusing on everything else. Remember, you're not going to make or break your franchise by a first-round pick, whether you take a running back or a linebacker. That's not going to drastically change your franchise from a successful one to a failed one or a failed one to a successful one. So you can take that running back.
At the spot you're drafting.
Yeah. Yeah, especially the spot you're drafted. Yeah. So if you're drafting like 28, 29, 30, 31, 32 in that area, and you end up taking a running back there, you can still backfill. You still got six more rounds to go.
Seth Hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
And, you know, guys from the second round on are also allowed to make contributions to your team.
They are. I know.
Tom Brady was a sixth-round draft pick, Josh.
Yeah, ruined it for everybody. I know. They are. And the running backs, we've seen second, third, fourth-round guys be contributors in the running game as well. I just, on the surface, I'd be disappointed if it was a running back. I'd be disappointed if it was an offensive player in the first round.
Sure. James.
Too many holes still on defense. You asked for it, and you got it. Maybe not the way you intended. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.